Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha, Text 42. Yan nas tvam karma sandhanam sadunam krihamedinam kritavan asi durmasham vipriyam tava marshitam yannas tvam karma sandhanam sarunam grihamedinam kritavanasi durmarsham vipriyam tava marshitam yannas tvam karma sandhanam sadhunam grihamedinam kritavanasi durmarsham vipriyam tava marshitam yannas tvam karma sandhanam sadhunam grihamedinam kritavanasi durmarsham vipriyam tava marshitam. Yanastam kama sandhanam. Nam lavinam. Durmarsham. Shitam. Yanastvam kama sandhanam sadhunam grihamedinam kritavanasi durmarsham vipriyam tava marshitam yanastvam kama sandhanam sadhunam grihamedinam kritavanasi durmarsham kam tava marshitam. Vaishnavis, yanastam kama sandhanam sadhunam grihamedinam kritavanasi durmarsham yam tava darshitam sam kama sandhanam anam marsham vipriyam tava marshitam yat which naha unto us, tvam, you, kamasandhanam, who strictly follow the fruit of ritualistic ceremonies according to Vedic injunctions, sadhunam, who are honest, because we honestly seek elevated social standards and bodily comfort. Grihamedinam, although situated with a wife and children. Kritavanasi, half created. Durmasham, unbearable. Vipriyam, wrong. Tava, your. Marshitam, forgiven. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although I live in household life with my wife and children, I honestly follow the Vedic injunctions by engaging in fruitive activities to enjoy life without sinful reactions. I have performed all kinds of yajna, including the Deva yajna, Rishi yajna, Pitra yajna, and Nri yajna. Because these yajnas are called vratas, vows, I am known as a griha vrata. Unfortunately, you have given me great displeasure by misguiding my sons for no reason to the path of renunciation. This can be tolerated once. Please repeat. Although I live in household life with my wife and children, I honestly follow the Vedic injunctions by engaging in fruitive activities to enjoy life without sinful reactions. I have performed all kinds of yajnas, including the Deva yajna, Rishi yajna, Pitra yajna, and Nri yajna. Because these yajnas are called vratas, vows, I am known as a griha vrata. Unfortunately, you have given me great displeasure by misguiding my sons for no reason to the path of renunciation. This can be tolerated once. Purport. Prajapati Daksha wanted to prove that he had been most tolerant in not having said anything when Narada Muni, for no reason, induced his 10,000 innocent sons to adopt the path of renunciation. Sometimes householders are accused of being Grihamedis, for Grihamedis are satisfied with family life without spiritual advancement. Grihastas, however, are different, because although Grihastas live in householder life with their wives and children, they are eager for spiritual advancement. Wanting to prove that he had been magnanimous to Narada Muni, Prajapati Daksha stressed that when Narada had misled his first sons, Daksha had taken no action. He had been kind and tolerant. He was aggrieved, however, because Narada Muni had misled his sons for a second time. Therefore, he wanted to prove that Narada, although dressed like a sadhu, was not actually a sadhu. He himself, although a householder, was a greater sadhu than Narada Muni. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Daksha and Narada Muni both have interesting histories. In terms of Hollywood film language, you could say they have what are called backstories. You know, you see the characters acting, you know, on the screen, but you know, they have lives previous to that. You know, hints of it usually come out in a film. It's called the backstory of a person, what their life history was. So in, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam, many of the characters have backstories going back, not just in this life, but to other lifetimes. Like Narada Muni, you know, his history goes very far back in time to another kalpa, another day of Brahma. like we're now in the middle of a day of Brahma, you know, began about 2 billion years ago. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmana Vidu. It said that a day of Brahma is composed of about 1,000 yuga cycles. So each yuga cycle is 4,320,000 years old. So 1,000 of those add up to a day of Brahma, which makes 4,320,000 years. And we're now about halfway through the current kalpa, or, you know, day of Brahma. And Narada Muni existed before the present kalpa even. And later in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it's in the 7th canto, Narada Muni explains that in a previous kalpa, a previous day of Brahma, he was a Gandharva named Upabarhana, lived on Gandharva Loka. So this is part of the Vedic cosmology, you know, that there are different planetary systems and, you know, the beings existing on these different planetary systems have different levels of consciousness, different levels, different lifespans. So, you know, the Gandharvas, you know, they are a type of, you know, demigod, not one of the higher demigods, but they're a type of demigod. And they're known for their ability to sing very beautifully. So, in his previous life, in one of his previous lives, Narada Muni was a Gandharva named Upabarhana on, you know, Gandharva Loka. And he explained, he was explaining this to Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was trying to give some instruction to Maharaj Yudhisthira. So he, in the course of this, he was explaining his previous life, and he explained that, well, you know, when I was a Gandharva named Upabarhana, I was very attractive. You know, I had a very handsome face, very handsome physique. Therefore, I was very attractive to the women. The, generally, they're called apsaras. So, he was very attractive, and he became involved in what Srila Prabhupada called the life of being a playboy. So he was, quote, having fun as a playboy on Gandharva Loka, you know, with his, that's one of the the drawbacks of being, you know, very handsome or very beautiful. There's a tendency to get entangled in those kinds of activities. So Narada Muni said, yeah, he became involved in those kinds of dealings. And however, once the Prajapatis, you know, the generators of population, you know, the kind of senior demigods in the universe who are responsible for generating population and ruling over the whole situation, they initiated a Sankirtan Yajna on Gandharva Loka. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by song. And they invited Upabarhana to participate. Yeah, so this Sankirtan movement's going on, not just on this planet, but on other planets as well. There's Sankirtan, Golokara Premadana, Harinama Sankirtana. Ultimately, it starts in Goloka Vrindavan. The holy name is coming from there. It's distributed all over the universe by great devotees. So these Prajapatis wanted to have Sankirtan Yajna on Gandharva Loka. They invited Narada Muni, and he came, Upabarhana, he was at that time. Upabarhana, the playboy, the Gandharva playboy, came with some of his girlfriends to the Sankirtan Yajna. And he began singing hymns, songs, in praise of the demigods. Like we could imagine, the situation, maybe here in the temple or somewhere in the city, we're having some Sankirtan, some chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Some people gather around, some handsome boy with his girlfriends and a guitar, and come and listen, and then the kirtan stops for a minute, maybe to change the singer or start a new tune. And this boy then said, "Oh, that's very, I can sing too." And then he starts singing some pop song. So essentially, that's what Narada Muni as Upabarhana was doing. Here he was invited to this Sankirtan Yajna, where the chanting of the holy name, the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was going on. And then he started singing some other songs. Some songs in praise of, not of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but of the demigods. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says these demigods should not be worshipped. Only the foolish and the less intelligent will worship the demigods. Aham adir hi devanam. Because I am the source of all of these demigods. They're just functionaries in my cosmic administration. They're not, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They shouldn't be worshipped as God with a capital G. So it was not appropriate for Upabarhana to be singing the praises of the demigods in a function that was specifically organized to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Prajapatis cursed him to take birth on earth as a Sudra. Because from their perspective, he was freely associating with these women, and he was engaging in some mundane type of singing. So these activities, from their point of view, were more appropriate for a Sudra on earth rather than a Gandharva, a highly placed demigod in the heavenly planets. So Narada Muni took his next birth as the son of a maidservant, son of a Sudrani. And, you know, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are, you know, descriptions of the activities of sudras according to the system of varna and ashrama, the system of, you know, Vedic culture. Among the higher orders, the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, there's some restrictions in the association of men and women. The association can take place, but under some rules and regulations. Whereas among the sudras, there was not so much restriction in how the association could take place. You know, we saw in the story of Ajamil, you know, how, you know, he witnessed in the forest some unrestricted association between sudra man and sudra woman. So there are descriptions like that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Narada Muni was cursed to take birth from the womb of a sudra woman. But there was also a benediction there in that he got the opportunity to serve some Vaishnavas who came to visit during the rainy season and were engaged in discussing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this seems to be a pattern that one may be given an opportunity to serve, and if one doesn't act appropriately, take the opportunity, then one will take birth again and one will get another chance somehow or other to rectify, you know, the mistake. Or as Krishna explains to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asking, well, what happens if somebody takes up the path and then doesn't complete it? What will happen? And Krishna explains to him, well, such a person will take birth in a nice situation and will again be given the opportunity to take up the path. And when it's presented, when the yogic principles are presented in that next life, the person will automatically become attracted. So that's a principle of how these things may work. So in that, after having that association, Narada Muni's mother died of a snake bite, it said. So he was left alone. You know, he went into the forest and the mountains and engaged in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and achieved realization. And therefore, in the next kalpa, you know, he appears, you know, directly in the beginning. He doesn't have to take, you know, birth from anybody's womb. You know, he's Narada Muni, you know, right from the very beginning. And he becomes like a transcendental spaceman. Who knows that famous verse composed by Hayagriva? Anybody know that song from 26 Second Avenue? Who was that first transcendental spaceman in the universe? Sent out, the first to send out his wild, wild vibrations to all the cosmic superstations. For the song, he always would shout, would send the planets flipping out. I'll tell you before you think I'm loony, I'm talking about Narada Muni singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, devotees sang that to Srila Prabhupada. He liked it. but it's an accurate description. That's what Narada Muni would do in this manifestation. And he's doing it here. But it's interesting, he has a long history himself. You know, he's now as Narada Muni, he's inducing the sons of Daksha to become renounced and just dedicate themselves to absorption and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as he's doing. But in a previous life, as Upa Barhana, in a previous kalpa, he himself wasn't doing that. So it's kind of interesting from that perspective. And Daksha, he also has an interesting backstory, interesting history. In his previous life, he was a direct mental son of Brahma. He was Daksha. And he was one of the mental sons of Brahma. He was not born from a mother. So he was a very exalted personality. But as we saw in a previous canto, he became entangled in this dispute with Lord Shiva and created some offense to Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, Lord Shiva, he's not exactly a demigod. He's in his own tattva, Shiva tattva. It's actually a transformed manifestation of Vishnu. But somehow, without getting into the whole story of the whole Daksha Yajna and story of Sati and Shiva and without getting into all the details of it, we can say very briefly, he committed some offense. And because of that, originally he was a Brahmana. He was a son of Brahma, so he's a Brahmana. And he didn't take birth from the womb of a woman. But in this life, the one that we're seeing here, which takes place in the Chakshusha Manvantara period, he's taking birth as the son of the Prachetas. He was the son of their wife Marisha. And therefore he was a Kshatriya instead of a Brahmana. And he had to take birth from the womb of a mother, which was sort of a step down for him. But he's also being given, an opportunity to redeem himself in the sense that he's been given a very responsible post of being a Prajapati. And he's pointing out that I'm not a Grihamedi. You know, he's trying to, you know, he's performing sacrifices. He's trying to engage in his duty. And eventually we'll see how he's able to carry out his duty in, you know, the next chapter. You know, his daughters, he's able, although Narada Muni convinced his sons not to engage in the generation of population, he was able to finally have his daughters engage in this generation of population. But he's making a point, which Srila Prabhupada agrees with in his purport, that, you know, there's a difference between a Grihamedi and a Grihasta. And the Grihamedis are husband and wife just engaged in material sense gratification. But a Grihavrata is trying to make spiritual advancement, follows the rules and regulations, performs the vratas or the vows of regulated householder life. So in the history of our Krishna consciousness movement, we can see so many great devotees who were in the householder ashram, you know, most notably, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even Srila Prabhupada himself was for some time in the householder ashram. So there are many devotees, and they're considered to be Grihasta brahmacharis because they're following the vratas, the rules and regulations of spiritual life, even though in the householder ashram. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes?
That's not considered the highest thing to do. And I was just wondering, you know, why it is, you know, that in our restaurant, which is our major preaching tool here in this temple, that we have so much, you know, Durga Kirtan and Shiva Kirtan.
So the question appears to be, if Narada Muni is being held accountable for singing songs of the demigods, then why is it that, you know, I didn't quite hear you say that, because there are songs in praise of demigods. Are you saying why in our restaurant? Oh, you mean like the Om Namo Shivaya one? Om. Who sings that one? Yeah. I did hear that too, some of those. I don't know, I guess it's a question that could be put to the restaurant managers. Because I did hear that myself, too, I noted. Sometimes, you know, those things are played. Of course, there are, I mean, like, you know, Srila Prabhupada has explained, for example, that this worship of the demigods or mantras to the demigods, in general, it's not good, especially if it's not in relationship to Krishna. But he explained, for example, there are the hymns to the demigods in the Brahma Samhita. And those, because they're in relationship to Krishna, they put the demigods in their proper relationship to Krishna. For example, it might not be, you know, if there's somebody singing Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu or something, maybe that would be different. So there are hymns to the demigods that put them in their proper relationship with Krishna as Krishna's devotees and servants. So I guess, according to Srila Prabhupada anyways, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But if there are mantras that don't put them in their proper relationship to Krishna, then there could be some question about that. Something else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.